Now I'd like to talk for a few minutes on the subject of what to do with your soul. This is a brief talk, I hope only 10 minutes, for seekers. And I hope that as you listen to this talk, you, one person, whoever you are, you're one person here somewhere without Christ. He's not in your soul. He's outside. I ask you to be thinking now and to be making a resolve that today you're going to hand your soul to Jesus Christ. What to do with your soul? Let Christ's unseen presence enter your soul. That's what I say to you. And to do it today. And even to do it before you leave this tent. Now have this resolve coming in your mind. Let it be steeled. My object is to persuade one person here to become converted today, now. Our subject model is Felix, the Roman governor of Judea during the 5th decade of the Christian era. We read about him in Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Acts 24, verse 25. And as Paul argued about justice and self-control and future judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will summon you." We know a little bit about Felix from literature outside of the Bible, though some of the details are a bit vague. He'd been a slave in earlier days, a slave of the emperor himself. And because he'd been a favorite slave, he hadn't only gained his freedom, but he'd also been given the governorship of the Roman province of Judea. Now, when a slave became a free man, he often took a new name because he was so glad to be free, and this fellow called himself Happy. Felix. Happy. That's what it means. In what way was he happy? Because I'm sure he chose that name because he felt happy. Well, I'm sure he was happy with the abandonment to pleasure which many rulers of the time indulged in. He was free, and so he gave himself over to pleasure. At the time of this story, he'd been in his position about 5 years. He was living in adultery, and Tacitus, the Roman historian, mentions Felix in his writings and tells of his love of pleasure and of the easy way out. Was Felix without any knowledge of the Christian way? Oh, no. Verse 22 tells us this, Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off. He knew about the Christian way. He'd heard all about it and had rather an accurate way of knowledge of the way. So he'd learnt about Christianity already. He'd heard of Christ. He knew, I believe, what he should have done. And there was Paul right in front of him. What a fantastic opportunity. Suppose you run up against a man, a well-placed man, who's interested in Christianity and who's wondering whether to become a Christian. Who would you direct him to? Well, you might direct him to the Archbishop of Canterbury, or the Archbishop who's with us here at the convention, or to Billy Graham, some person who really knows the Bible and can help. What an opportunity. Here is Paul, of all people, the most helpful, standing right in front of him. Now I ask this question. Why become a real disciple of Jesus Christ now? Why now? Because, three reasons. History says, today. The text here is, go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I'll summon you. Felix had a past connection with the Christian way. He knew something already about it. Paul amplified his knowledge. And verse 25, Paul started to talk to him about justice and self-control and future judgment. Justice! He talked about the righteousness of God and how God hates sin and how no person who is a sinner can be in his presence. And he must have talked to him about the cross of Christ, which puts away our sin, so that God can justly say, I pardon you. Your sin has already been judged in Christ, my son, so you can become a forgiven follower of mine. And then I'm sure Paul talked about self-control in the context of the cost of being a Christian, because it wasn't going to be easy for Felix. He would have to give up his immorality for one thing. He had to be prepared for things that were wrong in his life to go with God's help. Then he talked about judgment. This world is not going to go on just as we think it is. Of course, people today realize this. We know very well that we're heading towards the brink of something fantastic in this world. And Paul here knows about it already. And he's talking to Felix about judgment. History says today. Because again and again in history, people have had the opportunity. Pharaoh, way back in the Old Testament, Ramesses II he was, confronted by Moses. What a tremendous opportunity. Moses could have helped him, but he hardened his heart and he said no. Pontius Pilate had the opportunity to say, yes, I will do the right thing with Jesus of Nazareth. I'll let him go free. That's what I should do. But he didn't do it. People sometimes say, oh, it's a better circumstances come my way before I decide to follow Christ. Now, the Philippian jailer in the Acts of the Apostles is the sure answer to that little excuse, and it is an excuse. If ever a man was unready to enter the kingdom of God, it was that Philippian jailer. There's an earthquake, midnight, all the prisoners are scattering, and the man's just about to lean on his sword and finish himself off. He's in an emotional state, and many people would say, now, just take it easy for a week or two. Calm down, and we'll help you when you calm down to understand the Christian way better. But that wasn't what happened. The apostle said to him, come on, you repent now. Turn to Christ now, this very moment. Turn to Christ. He wasn't ready. Yes, he was ready. He had to be ready. And in any case, in this tent here, you one person, whoever you are, the circumstances are perfect. Perfect. There are people praying for this meeting. We had prayer from 400 people this morning in the tent for this meeting. Circumstances are perfect. You person, whoever you are, come to Christ today, because history says today. Go thy way, Paul. Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will summon you. But he never had an opportunity again. It was his one opportunity, it seems. He never got as close to the kingdom again. And what happened in verse 27? But when 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And Felix is out of the way, gone. Job has been taken away. He's been succeeded by somebody else and is no longer near Paul. End of Felix's opportunity. History says today. Secondly, common sense says today. What is the way to God, anyway? How does a person become a real follower of Christ? I've got 4 R's. 4 R's. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but 4 different R's. Here's the first one. Repent. That means an about turn. We can't repent, we can't do an about turn in our lives without the help of God, but if we're willing to do the about turn, he will help us. Oh God, I'm sorry. I've kept you at arm's length. I've kept you outside of my life. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. You're still on the doorstep of my life, and I haven't let you in. I've crowded you out. I'm sorry. With your help, I do an about turn. Secondly, to realize that Jesus has done everything necessary to bring me into the kingdom of God, and to give me eternal life, to give me forgiveness of sins, to give me peace of mind, and to give me peace with my Maker. Jesus had done it all upon the cross. There on the cross, the lightning of God's judgment smote Jesus. The judgment that should have come to us. The judgment that your sins and my sins deserve. Jesus took himself in his own sacred, innocent person so that we might be free and forgiven. Realize that we can do nothing to earn our way to heaven. We can do nothing to earn our way into God's forgiveness. Realize that. Third R, reflect. Reflect on the cost of being a Christian. Paul talked here to Felix about that, about self-control and so forth. The cost. There is a cost. Not in becoming a Christian, that's free. But there is a certain cost in being a Christian. And it's this, that we've got to be willing as Christians, I say willing, we're not able, but willing, to leave things that are wrong in our lives. Leave him alone, and he'll help us gradually, bit by bit, to shun those things. Secondly, to be quite clear that we're going to let others know that we are Christians by our lives, by our lips, not by going around preaching our heads off, but by just living a Christian life, we let other people know. And I always say to people, when you come to Christ, tell somebody today. That'll burn your boat behind you. The cost. And also to receive the Lord as the Lord of our lives. To have him in full control. So repent, realize that Jesus died for your sins, reflect on the cost, and then, fourthly, receive him. Receive Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. How do you do that? Suppose you're in a room and you're all alone, and you hear a knock on the door, you go up to the door and you open it, and you see somebody standing there, and you say, come in. It is as simple as that with Christ. If we receive him, he will come in. He promises to come in. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in. Now, if Jesus Christ makes this offer to us, it's madness to delay, especially when the circumstances are perfect for decision. There's somebody ready right now to take the step. I'm challenging you to take it today, now, because common sense says today. Be deciding now that you're going to come to him today. I remember speaking to a man, young fellow, a Chinese man of 40, quite young, really. And he'd been in a wimpy bar, and he was dying of cancer of the stomach in Harrowwood Hospital, in a terrible state, thousands of miles from his home in Hong Kong, without Christ, with a poor knowledge of English, dying. And I gave him John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world. I put his name in it. God so loved Khun Sang that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that as Khun Sang believes in him, Khun Sang should not die, but Khun Sang should have everlasting life. And I said to this fellow, can you understand that? Do you believe this? Will you believe it? And he took the Bible from my hands. He took up a borrowed pen and he put a bracket around the verse and he gave it a tick. Put a tick in the margin. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I believe. He said, thank you for coming. I needed that. How grateful he was. He was late. He was near death. But he wasn't too late. He was so grateful he put his arms right around my neck and he wouldn't let go. And he died in peace. The fear went. He became a Christian. Common sense says today, because how can you tell what happens the next day? Not saying you're all going to die, but you'll be out of the circumstances which are perfect, and today the circumstances are perfect. So common sense says today, and last of all, God says today. I'll give you a few references here. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Psalm 97, verse 7, 95, verse 7. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Luke 19, verse 5. Zacchaeus, make haste, for today I must abide at your house. Oh, but Lord, could it not be tomorrow? Mrs. Zacchaeus isn't ready. Could it not be tomorrow? If it had been tomorrow, Jesus would never have come. He was only passing through Jericho, it says. And nowhere does it say that Jesus ever visited Jericho again. This was Zacchaeus' one chance. Listen to Hebrews, the urgent language of Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 15. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Have you heard enough? Verse 7 of the next chapter. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Three times. Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will summon you. I will summon you. That's a nice way of putting it. Yes, God will summon sometime, but another time I'll ask for your help. You can't talk like that to God or to his representatives. When God speaks to us, we say yes. Always say no. There's no in between. There's no saying, oh, I'll think about that. True, we must have reflection. But if we reflected, and if we know what we should do, don't delay. It would be sheer ingratitude to do so. Supposing you're drowning, and I rescue you, and I bring you to the bank, and the nurses start hovering around you and fanning you, and you come to, and they say, would you like to meet your rescuer? You say, well, I'll think about that. Ah, you would say that. Some of us say that to Christ, who died for us. Isn't it right that you give your life to him today? Now, while the circumstances are perfect, right here in this tent. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have a prayer in a minute or two, and it'll be a prayer in the first person singular. And you can pray it silently, you one person, whoever you are. You're here somewhere. You pray it silently, after me, bit by bit. And when we've prayed it right through, you can stand. I'll invite you to stand in this tent. You're amongst friends. These circumstances are perfect. People are praying for you. You can stand. If you're not ready to take that step, because you honestly do not understand, you honestly don't know what you should do, then I invite you to come tomorrow afternoon and talk it through with us. But you're amongst friends here. They're praying for you. And we're wanting to love you into the kingdom. And it's time for you now to make up your mind. You've been here at Keswick 3-4 days. It's time now. And you say, oh, I could never stand in the tent as a witness to Christ? Yes, you can. Jesus died on that cross for you. Surely you can stand for a few minutes amongst friends, not amongst enemies. Amongst friends for him. And supposing there's somebody here and you've never made any sort of public stand for Jesus Christ, even though you've been a Christian 2 years, 3 years, you can stand too. Let's have a prayer now. Now, I'll tell you the prayer that I'm going to pray so that it's not putting words into your mouth. Don't pray this now, but listen to the prayer first. It's going to be this. Lord Jesus, I admit I am a sinner, and I confess my sins to you, especially those upon my conscience. Lord Jesus, I believe you died upon the cross to bear away my sin. Counting the cost, I now come to you. I open the door of my heart and welcome you into my life, according to your promise, as my Savior and Lord, for your name's sake. That's the prayer. Now we're going to pray it. You one person, pray it silently after me. And then you're going to stand. Even if it's just one person, you're here. Lord Jesus, I admit I am a sinner. And I confess my sins to you, especially those upon my conscience. Lord Jesus, I believe you died upon the cross to bear away my sin. Thank you. Counting the cost, I now come to you. I open the door of my heart today and welcome you into my life according to your promise as my Savior and Lord for your name's sake. Amen.